In this third part, we're going to look at Psalm 66 rather briefly, and then at the text in Galatians 4, because it's a Marian text, even if it doesn't seem to be one at first glance. So, Psalm 66, skipping a fit, sing the glory of God's name, give him glorious praise. Both places you have this word kavod. Zamaru kavod shimo, simu kavod tehilato. Kavod, you heard it, right? Kavod. Kavod is the manifestation of the radiant, powerful, almost overwhelming, saving presence of God. That's why we say, and we saw his glory, as of an only begotten Son. Only Jesus can have that glory. As an only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. But you see, what we're saying here is, you see, give him glorious praise, kavod. Kavod, the kavod, as you know, that's the cloud, which is the bearing of his presence. And it's the kavod. And then, as you know, the last line of Exodus, a very powerful line, and I'm telling you, this Old Testament is mystical. If you read it, if you go to the right commentators first, I wanted the book of Exodus, I went right by it. You feel it. Let me find this line now. Okay. And the cloud of Adonai was over the Mishkan, over the dwelling place, day by day, and at night it was there, Ne Kol Baday, you know, and there was fire in it. This fire in the cloud. That's enticing us. Come into the cloud. Oh, no. I'm okay out here. This is fine, you know. I'm glad to worship you and say Mass every day and get my office in sometimes, and that's it. And God is saying, come into the kavod. Come into my heart. Come to know me. You see? Now remember, this is the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. So if you want to figure out what this text means, ask her. She knows. Can you imagine when she prayed these things, when she read these things? You know, sing, you know, sing to God all the earth, the first line, and then sing the glory of his name, set forth the glory of his praise. So, now suppose you were sitting on the porch with Mary and she starts to sing this. You are going to be overwhelmed. Have you ever been with a really holy person? When they pray, something's different. I can remember, not even prayer, John the 23rd came out to see us when I was over in Rome at the student date, and we were all lined up. He gave a lovely talk, and then we all lined up to kneel down and greet him. Well, I knelt down to greet him, and I was absolutely convinced that he loved me. And I thought, this is crazy. I never got this close to him before in my life. How can I be so sure? And I said, because he's holy. I live, now not I. Christ lives in me. Christ is loving. And it's wonderful. What I really thought to myself was, man, I worked the rest of my life for this guy. You know? It was so beautiful. But that's just a reflection of his glorious praise, you see? Say to God, how awesome, you know? Manora, yeah, fearful, you see? Are your deeds, are your actions, in all the might of your power, Your enemies cringe before you. Wouldn't it be nice to know God that way? To know how powerful He is. You see, sometimes we sin and we think, well, you know, He's a pretty good God. He'll be okay. No, He's more than a pretty good God. He's a fire of mercy, but He's a fire of truth. And that's what sets us free. When we sing His praises, here you are on the porch with Our Lady, and she is going through this psalm, you know, Kol Haaretz, Yishkahalecha, you know, come and see what God has done. He's awesome in His deeds among men. She can look back, starting with the call of Abraham, starting with creation, and see how marvelous He is. I would like to go on, but I want to spend time on this Galatians text, because now you'll see how Mary's giving birth to the church is our access to the Holy Spirit in God's plan. Okay. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Genomenon ek gynekos, genomenon hypernomon. So that those under the law might be ransomed, and that we might receive adoption. You know, we're heirs of God. That means my Father is the richest being in the world. God is my Father, and He's left me an inheritance. Now, what this text says so beautifully is we wouldn't be receiving that. I want to try to explain this a little bit. You see, He's born of a woman born under the law. So then, that He might ransom those under the law, He was born of a woman, but He was born under the law, that He might ransom those under the law. It's like an X, you see. He's born of a woman, and then we become sons of God. He's born under the law to free those who are under the law. And then He says, you see, so that we might receive adoption as proof that you are children. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir. Through God, everything God owns, you own. Now, that means we have to love God as a father. Some people have had bad relationships with their father. But I can promise you this, God can do away with that in no time at all. Sometimes He needs a human mediator. That's us. Love, love, love. Never counting the cost. Just love. Speak the truth. There's a woman whom I know who has been schizophrenic since birth, beaten by her father, beaten by her husband, you know? And right now, she's one of the holiest people around because of what has happened to her getting to know the Father. It's so crucial. And so you see, we are able to become children of God because He was born of a woman. He's human. And now our humanity is sanctified to a degree that we can receive adoption as children. So that the Spirit of God, as it says in Romans, it says here, excuse me, crying out, Abba, Father, crying out, so enthused with this divine affection for the Father, you can trust Him totally, totally. Now you may wonder why on this feast of Mary, the motherhood of God, there's so much about the fatherhood of God. Because they go together, as you see in this text, okay? So that, you see, let me read it in English. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, under the law, it's a, you know, what they call a chiasm. Born under the law to ransom them under the law. Born of a woman, so that we might receive adoption. We need to be born of her as Christ is, to receive the adoption as proof that you are children. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I think I mentioned this once before. My first week or so in the monastery, I'm a scripture man, okay? 50-some-odd years teaching. I was kneeling there in church, and I felt this Abba, Abba, Abba swell up in me. And I was really amazed. When it was over, I said to myself, I think that's in the Bible somewhere. I mean, that's how much I knew, you know? So I knew the prayer before I was sure it was in the Bible. So now, you're no longer a slave, you're a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir because of God. You're an heir. Do you understand? Just don't turn from God. Never despair. Never turn from God. I might go to purgatory. Hey, when you're in purgatory, you know you're going to be in heaven. It's not a bad place. Most of us are going to be there for at least a while. But you see, what is purgatory? Purgatory is seeing our sins as bad, as dark, as dastardly as they really are. We offended God. But we see all this through the eyes of Jesus' mercy. So we weep. We weep. Now the saints, see, that's the gift of tears. It's a charismatic gift. But it's not just crying. The gift is to see who we really are through the eyes of Jesus' mercy, the Son of God, with his human eyes looking at us with love. Don't ever forget that. And so the vehicle, and this is the key Marian text, you see, the vehicle for all of that is that Jesus was born of a woman, Mary. And so now we can receive adoption. When Jesus rose from the dead, humanity was rendered apt to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, at Pentecost, the Spirit came. Up to then, humanity wasn't ready. But rendering humanity ready to receive the Spirit comes through the passion and resurrection and co-redemption that was worked on our behalf. It cost, but it will never cost us what it cost Jesus and what it cost Mary. And they love. They'll tell you, I'll gladly do it over again if I have to. I love you. And so we become children. And we become children of Mary. So you remember the first part, we were talking about Mother of God. And I said, you know, church is Mother of God. Mary is Mother of God. Yes. But Mary is Mother of God. And under Mary, the church is Mother of God.